Blossom here. Now, obviously, there's been an awful lot of coverage, media coverage, for Britain's first spacewoman. She seems, Helen Sharman, she seems to be having a jolly good time out there, and I think she's back tomorrow, although I don't think she wants to come back. And you may have seen on TV that certain young ladies from the Harrogate Ladies' College had the opportunity to talk directly to Helen in outer space. I have one of them on the line now. Olivia Whiteside, hello. Oh, that's the wrong department. I beg your pardon. My mistake. Hello, Olivia.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm very well, thank you.
And I gather one of your teachers is there, Richard Horton?
That's right.
Welcome, Richard.
Morning.
The first thing that I would like to know is, why Harrogate Ladies College?
Right, well, we've had an amateur radio station here for some 12 years now.
Mm-hmm.
And a couple of years ago, we had a satellite set up put in to talk via amateur satellites throughout the world. So we've had a fairly high profile in the amateur radio circles. And then Rodney Buckland of Space School was looking around for an education experiment to go up onto Juno. One of his ideas was that we would link up directly with Helen via amateur radio, and he came to us and asked if it was possible to produce such a link up.
Oh, smashing. So then once you had permission to link up to the craft in outer space, you had two other problems: to choose which lucky ladies would talk to Helen, and then to decide what questions to ask her. How did you sort that out?
Well, first of all, in terms of who to talk, we have six licensed girls in the school, and so they were the ones who were basically chosen to run the operation. But in addition to that, we also had a competition for the best question to ask Helen, which was from the school in general. And in fact, the winner of that, who isn't a licensed amateur, Katie, got to put the question directly to her, so that was done in that way.
And were you only allowed to ask one question?
No, it was just a matter of time.
Mm-hmm.
See, the idea was to get all nine schools participating linked up to Helen. We knew we would be limited with the amount of time we had to talk to her, and so therefore we limited each school basically to one question.
Right. Olivia, tell us what the question was that you put from the Harrogate Ladies' College.
The question was, if there were no clocks on Mir, how would you get a sense of time in space?
Good question. And treat us to the reply that you got.
Well, she said that there were 16 sunrises and sunsets every 95 minutes. So her days, one of our day would be like 24 for them.
Right. And not much more than that then, really. Did you have a chance to listen to all the other questions being put?
Yes, but not from the other schools, unfortunately, because we can only hear Helen talking down to us, but we can't hear what the other schools are saying.
All right, so you heard nine replies then?
Yes.
And from which you deducted what the question was?
Yes, that's right.
So what sort of other things did you think was coming out from the other schools?
Well, she was talking a lot about her training and experience she had while she's been on Mir, such as anecdotal stories about her going to sleep with her head upwards and then waking up with her head on the floor and her feet on the ceiling, and about her training, problems she's had with fluid in her head.
Oh dear, that sounds a bit naughty, doesn't it? And did the Russian gentleman have any input into this conversation?
Not directly. He actually sent his greetings via Helen. He's called Musa Minarov, and he's coming down. He's one of the old crews, and he's coming down with her tomorrow.
Uh-huh. And are we to take it that some of the crew that went up were staying and taking over the...
Exactly so.
Yes.
There have been two up there. Musa is one of them. They've been up there 6 months.
Yeah.
And Helen went up with a replacement crew. They're due to stay up for 6 months, and they're coming down with her tomorrow.
And it sounds very much as though she would have preferred to stay up there for 6 months.
I think so. I mean, you know, she's been in training now for nearly 2 years. It's a long time. And 6 days is a very short period of time to put all that training into action.
Mm.
So knowing the girl she is, I'm sure she'd have been delighted to stay up there for the 6 months.
Do we have any ladies at the college who'd like to be number two or number seven?
I think one of the amateurs, Pippa, has expressed an interest. I think all the others said that they'd like to keep their feet firmly on the ground.
Did you video and record the whole experience?
Yes, we did. I mean, we did have an awful lot, as you said earlier on, of television coverage, so we've got quite a bit of videotape from them. But we also had a camera running here as well, so we've taped quite a bit of it.
Smashing. So you mentioned your radio setup in this school. Do you find that a lot of the people who've been involved in that go into broadcasting then?
I don't think so, because amateur radio is somewhat different. I mean, we don't broadcast as such, as you probably know. It's really a matter of a two-way communication medium with other amateurs to talk on technical matters and so on. And also, it is what we call a self-training hobby. There is that you learn more about electronics and radio theory through it.
Yeah.
And so it tends to be, you know, concentrated on the electronic side.
Smashing. Well, well done, Harrogate Ladies College, and thank you, Richard and Olivia, for joining us.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.